Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. What a couple of weeks we've had. Obama shows his cert and Osama gets his dessert. What is the proper Christian response to the news that Osama got his brains blown out by some of America's finest? Hang on, the death of Osama, the end of Obama? All in what, 10 days or something? Wow, death of Osama, end of Obama. Now listen up, folks, and buckle up. It's going to be an interesting ride as I take hold of the gray matter and stimulate the electrolytes to jump the synapse, making a powerful connection between your mind and the truth.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
What is a proper Christian response to the killing of Osama? Before I get into that, I want to take a moment to say happy birthday to Israel. Turning 63 this Tuesday, May 10, 63 years of fighting for your survival against your crazy cousins descended from your father Isaac's half-brother Ishmael, a branch of Abraham from the Egyptian Hagar, whose progeny over time has been mongrelized with your ancient enemies, the Philistines. Today, the Philistines are called Palestinians. Did you know that? The two words are etymologically related. Oh, Ishmael, son of Abraham. Ishmael, father of the 12 Arab princes, from whom has come the Jew-hating Arabs of today. Why do you continue to hate your brother? Resenting God's choice of Abraham's seed through Isaac? What, begrudging your half-brother to have even one sliver of the promised land? You are aware, are you not, that God promised Abraham the land from the Euphrates, all the way from Turkey down into to the Persian Gulf, and then across west all the way to the Mediterranean. But after Abraham did his thing with Hagar and produced Ishmael, do you realize that God limited Israel's inheritance to that narrow strip called Canaan? But no, that's not enough for the hot-headed, fist-shaking, tongue-rattling, you know, who have shaped their culture in the mold of a seething, irrational hatred for their brother. And like Cain, they kill their brother Abel. Islam is a culture centered on hatred for Israel. Oh, Ishmael, let your brother live. God gave you the greater share of Abraham's promised land. Be content and let it alone. Palestine, modern Philistia, continuing your feudal feud with Israel. You know, two Muslim factions, Fatah and Hamas, have been fighting over control of a hoped-for Palestinian state. And recently, you might have heard, they have made peace. Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, has said, quote, the Palestinian Authority, and that's Abbas, leader of the Fatah faction, quote, must choose either peace with Israel or peace with Hamas, end quote. And as you know, Hamas is that terrorist organization supported by progressives like Carter. And Obama. Fatah and Hamas have vowed together to join forces now to form a Palestinian state with their capital being Jerusalem. They have vowed no compromise on that point. Well, as many of you know, I'm reputed as something of an expert on biblical prophecy in these areas. And my take is this. Jerusalem will become the capital of a sort of United States of the Near East or a Near Eastern United States, something like that, in a manner similar to how Washington, D.C. is not a state but serves as the capital for the United States government. Not quite the international city some conceive, although I do believe that is a likely development as we move toward a one-world government. Now, we know Jerusalem will be exalted among the cities of the world as a center, as it were, for something like international law, whereas Rome will become the center of religion and Babylon will be the economic center of the global government, or something along those lines. In any event, happy birthday, Israel. Do not fear, little flock. The God of Abraham will preserve you. But hey, what about Obama taking out Osama? Did it single-handedly, you know. Yeah. By the way, he really sweated out that decision to act on the intelligence that we found him in a hideout in, right under the noses of Pakistani military, some quarter mile or less from a military base in Abbottabad. I mean, right in the middle of one of the busiest cities in Pakistan, surrounded by military in a totally oversized building that stood out like, the proverbial sore thumb, and no one wondered who lived there. And no one in Pakistan's intelligence service had any inkling of something curious about this place right under their noses. Of course, Pakistan knew Osama was hiding there. And they also know of a few other high-profile terrorists who are hiding out in Pakistan. Well, maybe not now. One advantage of having a weekend show is that major breaking news, when it happens early, allows time for that news to percolate a while, allowing some of the more subtle bits and pieces to stir to the surface before I prepare my cup for you. However, I do these little one-minute shows. You might have heard one of them. They are used to promote the full-length show. However, they stand alone as a complete statement on news events. You can hear them on this radio station, or you can go to our website at santamarialighthouse.org. But anyway, I wrote one on the very day the news of Osama's death broke, titled Death of Osama, End of Obama. And now it looks like I nailed it. You'll have to listen carefully and follow all the way through to appreciate what I'm saying. And by the way, I am very aware that lizards, including a variety called the glass snake, a great nickname for you know who, I know that this snake, like a lizard, can regrow its tail. And Obama has had his, let's say he's had his tail clipped several times, but has managed so far to grow it back. Sometimes I crack myself up. You're not laughing. We chopped off his tail when we exposed his 20-year membership in the America-hating Church of Jeremiah White, and when we exposed his hard-left associations with the likes of Bill Ayers. His gross lack of experience, his virtually unknown past, and none of these things missed their mark in every case. His tail was clipped. Oh, yeah, I mean, chopped right off. But he has managed to regrow it every time we've cut it off. However, I don't know of any creature that can grow its head back. And this time, I think Obama has put his head in the proverbial sling. Now, that's a mixed salad of metaphors if I ever ate one. Aside from the fact that Obama administration's narrative of the events has changed so many times, no one knows with certainty what has happened, and the fact that the pictures of the compound where Osama was killed show some inconsistencies with Obama's first narrative of the events. And now Obama has created a new dog to nip at his heels. Along with Show the Cert, we're going to be hearing Show the Pics. But on top of all that, we have some leaks that suggest Obama was waffling on the decision to go in after Osama. Huh? That in fact it was Panetta who pressured, and some suggest he cornered Obama into signing Osama's death warrant. Huh. That's interesting. Here's a photo of Obama and several staffers, including Hillary, some top-ranking military brass, all presumably gathered before a video watching the killing of Osama in real time. Only later we learned that the operation went black, and they were looking at a blank screen. Well, maybe that might explain some of the expressions you'll notice on the faces of those in the room. Although, to me, they don't appear to be looking at a blank screen. They appear to be looking at something that's either horrifying, dear Hillary, either that or she's trying to suppress a smile. And whatever they're seeing, it seems to be ticking off Obama, so who knows. But Panetta tells us that the video feed went black when the deed was done. So what were these guys looking at? Maybe the photographer caught them just before it went dark. I don't know. Obama has been doing the, it's all about me, it's all about I dance. Have you noticed that? Really? I watched him give his speech, and it was so obvious that the Obamster's trying a bit too hard, really, to position himself as the point man in the operation. I mean, he did everything but put the gun in his own hand. I guess his brand of Christianity does not have the ancient tradition that says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. I did this and I did that when I became president, and I and me and mine, and it's all about me. This president, who promised to be the most transparent president ever, and as one of my research team said, can this man be transparent about anything? Now he's going to hide the pictures? I agree. Yeah, but this fella, who's supposed to be the most transparent president ever, is. But not in the way we expected. He's the most transparently petty little man to ever hold the grand office of the presidency. Listen, that picture I mentioned earlier, where we are given to believe they are watching the assault on Osama's compound in real time, If you look at that picture, I think someone else noticed this as well, but you'll see what I mean. He looks like the smallest person in the room, practically a shrinking violet crouched off in the corner with a darkened countenance, and I don't mean the color of his skin. I'm talking about his mood. Small, you know, it's sad, but Obama is the smallest president we've ever had. I thought Carter was a smallish sort of man, but Obama's clearly the smallest president we've ever had. At least he's smaller than any I've known, and I guess I began taking particular notice of presidents with JFK. Now, what do I mean by little and small? I mean, he behaves the way a petty man, a small man, would behave. And I must say, Nixon had a tendency in that direction. Now, Obama wears the presidency like a man wearing a suit five times too large for him. An expensive suit, a classy suit, but it's way too big for him. Bush, on the other hand, he wore it like a pair of work jeans. I loved it. Reagan, he wore it like a tuxedo. I mean, no one carried the mantle of the presidency quite like Reagan. Wore it like a regal robe. Clinton wore it like a pimp. I mean, no dignity, a lot of flash, no dignity. Carter, he wore it like he was dressed for a funeral. And I'm not talking about their actual physical clothing. I mean, the way they wear the presidency. Really, those of you who remember these men and how they handled the presidency, how, as it were, they wore the office, isn't this right on? But I need to conclude the first segment, so let me wrap up my take on how Obama has handled the killing of Osama and what it tells us about the man. Great leaders do not have difficulty giving credit where it is due, and never feel like exalting others diminishes them. But little men, well, that's exactly how they are. As the good book says, giving praise to a fool is like binding a stone in a sling. They're stingy about sharing glory with others, fearing that they will somehow diminish themselves by doing so. Guys like Obama have so little substance they can't afford to give any away. For example, can you believe he did not even tip his hat toward President Bush? Not even one time in any of this? Did he give so much as a mention of the role Bush and his policies played in getting Osama? That's little. I mean, it's so obvious that the policies that led to the killing of world enemy number one were those that Bush put in place. And Bush held the reins when all of this happened. And yeah, maybe it's because Obama spent so much of his time ridiculing those very policies, denouncing them openly, by the way, and dissing the president over those very policies that he is now embarrassed to admit, you know, like a man would admit, that he was wrong and Bush was right. I mean, Obama has tacitly admitted it by the fact that he continued the Bush policies and programs. And for that, by the way, he does deserve credit. This was an American moment, not an Obama moment. This called for a leader who would rise above himself and be America for a moment. When Bush, as they say, wrapped himself up in the flag in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, did you notice America didn't America warmed to him? Because honest people watching all of that knew that Bush was being us. He was being America. He was waving the flag for all of us. He was speaking on behalf of America, not trying to garner some points for a political contest. What is painfully obvious to all, but, well, some of his closest supporters, is that Obama is trying to make this all about him, and it's sad. He's trying to use this thing to lift himself up before the American people. He doesn't need to do that if he would. It's going to fail. It's going to backfire on him. And this time, it's not his tail that is going to get chopped off. He's led with his head. And anyway, I'm going to explain that when I get back. I'm going to address what would be a proper Christian response to all of this in my next segment. I'll be right back.
Can a logical thinker believe every word in the Bible?
Welcome to Creation, Evolution, and Science Ministries with your host, Russ Miller. And now, here's Russ.
Naturalistic evolutionists teach that life began when non-living matter spontaneously generated living matter. As with most of the Darwinian myth, this flies in the face of many scientific principles. In fact, former Harvard professor and Nobel Prize winner George Wald stated, "I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I chose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible, spontaneous generation arising to evolution." Folks, any knowledgeable scientist knows that Darwinian change is impossible. Would you like to know how long it takes to refute Darwinism? Start your watch now. The DNA code barrier plus gene depletion plus natural selection makes Darwinian evolution completely impossible. Stop your watch. That's all it takes. Learn the godly edifying facts by going through our 17-part DVDs and study guide. Visit us at creationministries.org to learn more.
Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, here lighting the lamps in the Church Belfry Arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty, the death of Osama, the end of Obama. I'm going to explain why I say the death of Osama is the end of Obama. First, because Obama and all his supporters know, even if they won't admit it, that Osama went down because of Bush and Cheney, not because of Obama and Biden. We now know that intense interrogation, say waterboarding, produced the intelligence that finally led to Osama's encounter with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know that warrantless wiretaps did the trick. We know that marking Osama as a military target and not as a criminal fugitive, you know, with Miranda rights, with this innocent until proven guilty thing in a court of law, facing accusers with a jury of peers and all of that, well and good for citizens prosecuted for crimes, but not the sort of thing that has any place in a war scenario. And by the way, as a citizen of the United States, I demand Eric Holder immediately drop all charges against the military personnel who were involved in carrying out their orders to get the information from those prisoners of war using intense interrogation techniques, techniques that did not involve mutilation or death or permanent disability, but coercion by threat, intimidation, and the super intense drowning sensation induced by waterboarding that produces great results, by the way. Those men did this country a great service and must be relieved of any further threat of retaliation by that weasel attorney general who quaffed the investigation against CARE into CARE and their activities, but pursues criminal prosecution of our own military heroes for doing their job to protect this country, giving us intel that led to the killing of Osama. Listen, anyway, Obama wants to bask in the glory of getting Osama bin Laden, while at the same time sit idly back and silent while his administration pursues criminal prosecution of the very men whose actions were sanctioned by America's policy at the time, actions that were perfectly legal, every bit as legal as Osama sending in an assassination assault team to take out a military target who was right now planning to use trains and terrorist attacks against America. Did you know that? Anyway, more on that in a moment. How dare this president sit by and, in fact, approve his attorney general prosecuting these brave soldiers while taking credit for the results of their work? This is what galls me. He's out there taking victory laps for getting Osama while prosecuting the men responsible for being part of the team responsible for making that possible. This is the most outrageous example of hypocrisy we've seen so far for this president, and we've seen some doozies. He beat up on Bush mercilessly during his campaign for the very policies that he then turned around and left in place. He did not close Gitmo. He did not reverse the policies he opposed during his campaign. And thank God he had enough sense to realize that he was wrong about that. But he isn't man enough to admit it. Now, how is the death of Osama and the end of Obama related? Well, besides the birth cert thing, which I'll talk about another time, I won't have time today, as I plan to, and the abortion issue in the House, oh my, I want to give attention to that, but I won't have time for it today. But as I said, Obama campaigned against everything that led to the killing of Osama, the successful execution of wrath upon that evildoer, which, by the way, is the biblical definition of the responsibility of government in Romans 13. The successful execution of wrath upon the evildoer Osama bin Laden concludes the end of Obama's vision for the presidency as he defined it in his campaign. It's over. His only actual success that he's had as president so far, that is, if you measure success by that which benefits all Americans, and not narrowly benefiting only a certain group, like his union buddies and stuff like that, okay? But that which benefits all Americans. His only success so far has been getting Osama bin Laden. And he did it by following Bush-Cheney policies in contradiction to his own statements during his campaign. There's good reason to believe the only reason he followed those policies was because he was virtually forced to do it for political reasons, and because he could not get the support he needed from key personnel in the military and in his party. Oh yeah, there are things that go down in the quarters of power that rarely receive any vitamin D. He was pressured into giving the order to take out bin Laden, by the way. He was cornered into it. Nevertheless, he did give the order, and for that, I am thankful, Mr. President alleged, for not following your own foolish, naive notions about how we should fight or prosecute our war against al-Qaeda and against those nations supporting them, and instead going with the common sense of your advisors in that matter. Second, Another reason the death of Osama will be the end of Obama is because for Obama to trot out there doing his victory laps and attempting to make this all about him is going to backfire. People will sense it. I think it's already happening. They're going to begin withdrawing from it. Americans rejoice in justice and judgment, not in political executions. And what Obama does not realize is that the way he is exploiting this event for political gain gives it the stink of a political execution, which it isn't, but he's creating that stink. There are people in the UN already calling for him to prove the killing of Osama was done, quote, legally, end quote, huh? Now, what's Obama going to do that he has the international court crowd on his heels, huh? Right? The global crowd demanding that he recognize their authority to demand that he satisfy their scrutiny of his actions? It's all well and good to throw Bush under the train. You know, Osama was planning a terrorist attack using trains to celebrate the 10th anniversary of 9/11. Did you know that? They found that out from the information they got after they killed him. I know another Muslim who uses trains in political terrorism. All right, that's a little bit much, I guess. But I mean, how many guys has Obama thrown under the train so far, huh? All right, now you watch. This isn't going to go away. Obama has stumbled into something here. There's going to be a nightmare for him. It'll take a while, but those Pakistanis have friends in the Muslim world. And if those in Hamas who openly supported Obama's presidency come to see him as a fellow Muslim who threw Sharia under the law, or under the bus, under the train, ooh, baby, they're going to press for him to stand trial in the International Court for War Crimes. And that's why they have to hide the pictures and come up with four different versions of what happened. They're scrambling to keep this from becoming an international incident implicating Obama as a war criminal. Oh, mercy. Dancing around in the streets over this is a political mistake because this is America's moment, not Obama's moment. And because it gives this whole thing the smell of a political execution. Be careful, Mr. President alleged. So the death of Osama is the end of Obama because it proves Obama's entire presidency, the primary reason he was elected, was false. He was elected because Bush and Cheney were, quote, war criminals, end quote, because of their prosecution of this war against al-Qaeda and those nations that supported terrorism. Now Obama is up to his own neck in the very thing he professed to despise and condemn. And already Americans are beginning to be put off by Obama's obvious effort to make this all about him. All right, so what is the proper Christian response to all of this? Well, there are two biblical principles that guide us, but before I go there, of course, the killing of Osama cannot help but remind us of his killing of more than 3,000 innocents, including children, by the way, in a daycare center that was operating in one of those towers. And so while we rejoice that justice is served, we are at the same time sobered by the memory of the great price evil exacted upon us on that day. Romans 13 informs us that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, to whom has been given all power in heaven and in earth, has ordained the governmental powers in the earth and charged them with the job of serving as the people's revenger, executing wrath upon evildoers. Now, it is true that many, if not most, of these governments at present refuse to submit to the authority of Christ, the Son of God, and they refuse to execute wrath upon evildoers, and instead they call evil good and good evil and use their power to oppress the good, something for which they will give account in the great day of his wrath. You've read Psalm 2. By the way, you handle this okay? You've read Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Oh, that's the cry of the nations today. I know that. But nevertheless, inasmuch as governments do serve justice as a revenger to execute wrath upon evildoers, like Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein or Pol Pot and Hitler and the rest, when governments do their job, they're doing God's work. They are ministers of God. Osama's execution was a beautiful example of government using its power to serve as the people's revenger, executing wrath upon an evildoer. And when justice is served, that means an egregious act of injustice, like Osama's 9/11. The act of killing Osama declares the injustice of his acts in 9/11. It condemns the injustice of it in a definitive act of retribution. You see, a hunger for revenge, natural and just, rises in our bosom when such injustice occurs and demands satisfaction. And while it does not undo the injustice done by the deed of the evildoer, it does restore the satisfaction of justice being honored justice being enforced, justice standing strong and saying definitively, I'm still here, I'm still strong, we will leave the ultimate corrective to God, to whom Osama has been sent, because not even eternity in hell's fire can remove the guilt of innocent blood from the hands of these evil men. But their eternal banishment serves to secure the rest from their evil forever, and to serve forever as a testimony that justice wins in the end. The bereaved families of 9/11 received a sense of vindication for the honor of the lives that were taken from them in the forfeiture of the life that took those lives. And so in the end, it's not about Osama or Obama. It is about justice. And our Navy SEALs and the brave men and women who serve this country have served as ministers of God to serve the people as their revenger, executing wrath upon the evildoer. Let all other such evildoers take notice. And this brings us to the question, what is a proper Christian response? Do we gather in the streets and shake our fists and scream? And we've witnessed that spectacle many times. We witnessed it when their champion, Osama, killed 3,000 of ours. Well, the Bible does say, Bible thump alert! Quote, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, end quote. And also this, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Psalm 58:10 and Proverbs 11:10. At the same time, however, let us remember that God told me to say to you, quote, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? End quote. Ezekiel 33:11. This is a sober reminder to all who hate God, who reject his righteousness, who reject the rule of Christ and his law, who despise the faith of our founding father, George Washington, who called on all nations to lay their scepters at the feet of Christ, all such who join in this chorus. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let them temper their shouting over the death of the wicked by remembering that divine justice will ultimately be served against all the ungodly who hold the truth in unrighteousness. All right, my folks, I must adieu. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. Here's the drill. You say, lights on, if you see the lights are on, and you will ride like Revere and spread the warning loud and clear. Essentially, it means you agree with what I'm saying. Or you can say, lights off. And that means you reject what I'm saying and disagree strongly with me. So what will it be today, lights on or lights off? Call our listener response hotline. The number is 1-888-770-8000. It's an easy number to remember, 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message on our listener response hotline for me. It is a free call to anyone within the continental United States. Now, from outside the country, we have many listeners all around the world. Or for those who would prefer, you can email me by going to our website and clicking on the Contact Us button. Use the address thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com. Now, if you're in a hurry, you can call me at 1-888-770-8000 and just say lights on. Or lights off and hang up. But if you will, please leave a message for me. And if you leave your name and number, I'll call you back as soon as I'm able. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California.
Singing Psalms is an audio CD of several psalms sung to my melodies. God wrote the words and I wrote the music. The cost is $10. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org.